Blog Talk Radio.
You got to listen to the Bob Carson Show. It's about the real deal. And this is Les Leopold, the author of Runaway Inequality, An Activist Guide to Economic Justice.
Hi, this is Stuart Acuff with Utility Workers Union of America, asking you to tune in every time you can to Bob Carson's Carson's Corner, one of the best pro-labor shows in America. We love it at Utility Workers. We love it across the AFL-CIO, and we're grateful to Bob for coming on and holding up our issues and holding up our principles and values.
I'm Andrew Craig. I'm an investigative reporter and attorney based in Washington, and I've the author of Presidential Puppetry, Obama, Romney, and Their Masters. And I want to encourage everyone to support, listen to, and talk about the Carson's Corner show in New Jersey, which is a pioneering, courageous, and apt voice for progressives in New Jersey that I first came to know in 2009, when he was the pioneering and virtually unique media outlet willing to take on Chris Christie, dig deep, and look at how he had come to power and how he was misusing it. And 4 years, 5 years later here, that's all come to pass.
Hi, this is David K. Johnston, and you're listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
Hi, this is Harry Kaysen, member supporter of the Zeitgeist Movement. As Zeitgeist members, we know that it is virtually impossible to find sources in the media that speak truth to power. Well, Carson's Corner does just that, and it is one of those special places where you can find out what is really going on. Not just what the bosses want you to know and think. So listen in and hear some truth at Carson's Corner. And oh, by the way, be sure to check out all the Zeitgeist and Zeitgeist-related films you can find on YouTube. We've got a world to save.
This is Greg Palin, reporter for BBC Television and Democracy Now, and author of the new book, Vulture's Picnic, In Pursuit of Petroleum Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores. And you're listening to Carson's Corner on 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio. Radio for the 99%. Help us occupy the airwaves and support Carson's Corner and support 5:30 Underground Progressive Radio.
Hey, this is Frank Schaefer, author, writer, New York Times bestseller. But I'm here today because I've got a new book called Why I'm an Atheist Who Believes in God. And I'm also on Carson's Corner because corporate media is so one-dimensional in terms of the kind of things they cover that they couldn't comprehend a discussion that would begin with a statement that implies a huge paradox. But I think there's a lot of thinking people out there who understand that life is paradoxical, and Carson's Corner is one of those places you can discuss it. So thanks for being with us.
Good evening, listeners, and welcome to Carson's Corner with the Election Boycott Advocates. This is your co-host, Chris Driscoll, and soon I hope we'll be joined by Bob Carson and Rainer Shea, our two other legs on the tripod called this show. Anyway, in the meantime, maybe I'll just go over with you the attack plan, let's call it, the plan of war here, what the show is going to consist of. First up tonight, we're going to be talking about the ongoing U.S. War moves against Iran. When we last spoke with you at this time last week, the United States had just the week prior attacked attacked war bases or military bases of the one of the major pro-Iranian Shia militias in Iraq. Then there was a bunch of retaliations on the part of the Iraqis. And finally, on the Sunday just prior to last week's show, the United States carried out a drone attack, a drone assassination on the great war hero from Iran, General Soleimani. Soleimani, and basically executed Soleimani. Of course, that is a war crime. It's not legal under international law or even under U.S. law. So we'll be talking about the aftermath of that. Things were looking like they were going to be coming to a head last week when we spoke to you, although since then things have cooled off a bit, and it's looking like both parties, the United States, the American Empire on the one hand, and Iran on the other hand, are stepping away from confrontation. Iran has announced that it does not plan further military attacks on U.S. forces, and the U.S., the Donald Trump regime, and Donald Trump himself has announced that they are calling a pause on these overt acts of war. Meanwhile, of course, meanwhile, the covert acts of war by the United States continue, and of course the what we call or what they call asymmetrical hybrid warfare continues against Iran. So the war on Iran is still going on, but it looks like we have narrowly averted a direct hot war kind of confrontation. So that's good news. We'll be talking about that a bit more once my fellow cohorts, once my fellows, I guess you'd call them, arrive. Don't know quite what's with them, but I'm not. They're not. They haven't arrived yet. So keep my fingers crossed that they get here in the next few minutes. Anyway, beyond that, we'll also be talking about the Iranian government seeking prosecution of Donald Trump, the war criminal, for the Soleimani assassination. Third on our list tonight will be censorship by social media platforms. We've been seeing that, and we've been talking about this over the last year at least. Social media platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, the major companies involved like Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and so forth, collaborating with the American Empire, with the United States government, in imposing more and more censorship on the major social media platforms. And this has taken a big ramp up, a big step forward into this fascistic nightmare of censorship by these monstrous monopolies. Just in the few days that we're already into January 2020, just in these few days, what is it, the 13th today? So just in the 13 days since this year began, we've seen incredible increase in these censorship moves by these large tech monopolies that are working in cahoots with the CIA, NSA, FBI, and other spook organizations and police organizations against users everywhere. So we'll be talking about that. And then the Yellow Vests and the general strike in France. We've been talking about that for more than a month now. Since this general strike began, they've been calling it a rolling general strike because they're hitting and then running and then hitting and then running like guerrilla warfare tacticians would do. With these general strikes, they'll do it for a day and then stop, and then or do it for a week. But over the weekend, this took a big increase. We saw a big increase in Yellow Vest protests. Apparently, more than 1.5 million people have been out in the streets protesting. In every major city in France, and the general strike is holding strong. However, of course, the Macron regime in France, President Macron's regime, has not been giving much in this. They have announced that they were ready to discuss a cessation of their attack on pension plans, national pension plans, and yet they're not really giving in to the demands of the strikers, so that's moving forward. And then finally, if Rainer ever gets here, hopefully he will. I don't see him yet, but finally we'll be talking about Rainer's article this past week on the increase of fascism around the world. And the need for socialist revolution. Those are basically, as Rosa Luxemburg said more than a century ago, we face basically two choices, revolution or barbarism, socialist revolution or barbarism. So back to the top. In the last week, we've seen both sides, Iran and the United States, exhibiting some restraint, at least restraint on to the extent that they have not attacked Iran since the Sunday a week ago, let's say, when they drone struck, or they used a drone to send a missile in and blow up General Soleimani, murdering Soleimani. We haven't seen any other military attacks by the American Empire since that time, so that's a good thing. However, Trump is still out there talking tough. We'll see how far that goes. I'm not betting that this will hold. On the one hand, Trump did promise not to attack or not to start any new wars, as you'll recall, when he was on the campaign trail in 2016. That was his promise, and his promise was to get us out of the endless wars, the failed wars in the Middle East. However, when it comes to Iran, Trump has basically always been on the attack. He's always sounded like a junkyard dog warning off any possible intruders. So while he's promised not to start a war, when it comes to Iran, he's definitely still this whole time been shaking his saber, rattling the saber at the enemy, so to speak, and using a threatening language against Iran. So that's been his modus operandi the entire time that he's been in the presidency, and in fact, a lot of time preceding that. He's never really changed that. So he's always acted warlike against the Iranians. That's nothing new there. And meanwhile, the Iranians themselves have vowed to defend their territory. Many people have commented, not just radicals and Marxists like myself and Rainer and Bob, but many people have been commenting on how insane, how batshit crazy it would be for the United States to actually engage in a hot war with Iran at this point, because Iran basically holds all the cards. Iran has the ability. They have a tremendous missile capability, as we saw last week when Iran retaliated for the U.S. Murder of Soleimani. They hit two U.S. Bases, military bases in Iraq, in sustained missile attack, and not a single American life was lost, and that was intentional. Obviously intentional on the part of the Iranians. The Iranians' missile capabilities are really exact. They are really precise. They are targeted, and they targeted parts of these military bases where there were no people, either empty buildings. This attack happened in the middle of the night, so It was either empty buildings or land that didn't have any buildings on it. Reports by the American soldiers that were on those bases say that the noise was deafening and frightening, but no one lost their lives. So obviously Iran was sending a message. They were sending a message that, first of all, here's what we're capable of. Notice that American anti-aircraft or anti-missile technologies seem to have failed. Patriot missile system does not seem to have been effective at all in keeping Iranian missiles from attacking U.S. Bases, hitting precisely where the Iranians wanted to hit, in an attack that was designed to not kill anyone, but to damage many buildings, much infrastructure, they were really accurate there, and this goes to show what their capabilities really are. The Iranians have incredible capabilities in the missile technologies, something that the United States will have to take account of, because, as I was saying there just a few minutes ago, this is not going to be a cakewalk for the United States if the American Empire decides to go to war, to enter into a hot war, I should say, with Iran. I mean, obviously, the United States is already at war, undeclared war, by the way, and the Constitution says Congress must declare war for the United States to go to war, but obviously Congress has not declared war, and the Trump regime is waging war against Iran, but so far on a covert, on a hybrid, asymmetrical level. Iran, their missile capabilities, for instance, give them the ability to shut down the Strait of Hormuz, which is a crucial narrow, I think it's about 10 miles wide in some parts, but a narrow passageway between the Gulf of Oman and the Persian Gulf, and something like between 20% and 30% of the world's oil flows through that Strait of Hormuz. The Iranians can shut that down anytime they want, sink a few tankers right in the center of the Strait of Hormuz, and it's like the mother of all gridlock traffic jams. You're not going to get through there, so oil tankers will be lined up, miles and miles and miles of lined up oil tankers waiting to get through there and unable to do so because the Strait of Hormuz has been shut down. That is one possibility, and only one. We saw earlier this year what a missile attack on Saudi oil production is capable of doing. that missile attack actually shut down half of Saudi oil output. So they're capable of that too. I mean, essentially, the Iranians are capable of bringing the entire global economy to its knees, sending the entire economy into a tailspin, into the worst nightmare, Great Depression of all time. There have been some mighty, mighty Great Depressions over the last 3,000 years, and we could talk about them sometime. I'm not going to do that right now, but, you know, this would be the worst depression we've ever seen. While, of course, the global economy is farther in advance of globalization than the global economy has ever been. So this is a possibility also. Plus the fact that, you know, you can carry out airstrikes on another country and do a lot of damage, but you will never bring that country to its knees with airstrikes. Airstrikes can do a lot of damage, but they're for a specific purpose. Basically, sometimes they're simply to punish. However, they can all they are always the ultimate goal of an air attack, an air raid on another country's infrastructure and command and control apparatus is to lay the groundwork for a ground invasion, because only through a ground invasion, only through sending ground troops in and taking control of the land will a country actually be conquered and brought to its knees. And that's something the U.S. essentially, in my opinion, and in the opinion I think of a lot of others, the U.S. does not have the capability of doing that any longer. The U.S. does not have the ground troops that it would need. All U.S. ground troops are already committed to essential jobs in other parts of the American empire, of propping up that empire. And were the United States to withdraw its land forces from these other parts of the empire to send them into Iran, in my opinion, the entire empire would collapse. They cannot do that. The only possibility for the Americans, for the American empire, is to, well, really, is to hold a draft, or to use mercenary forces, or to use forces from other countries. And right now, it does not look like any other country is going to be willing to contribute their forces to the American potential attack on Iran. So then it would be in a draft. And we haven't had a draft since the early 1970s in the United States, when the American invasion of Vietnam was still going on. So I don't really think that's politically viable solution. for the Trump regime, because I don't really think the American people are ready to take it or are going to take it. So, anyway, well, we'll see. Want to take this opportunity to urge listeners to call in with your questions, with your comments. You can call in at 347-326-794. I'm sorry, I messed that up. Strike that. Got a number transposed there. The number is 347-326-9749. There we go. That's 347-326-9749. And you can call in with your own comments, call in with your own questions if you've got any, and talk to us more here on Carson's Corner. Hey, folks, I don't know what exactly is going on, but no Bob Carson. Bob said that he might be calling in later. I don't know. Maybe he's just late in calling in. And Rainer, surprised not to hear Rainer tonight. Who knows? Something must have come up with them, but I did not hear anything from them. So, well, we'll just have to see. Anyway, folks, that call-in number is 347-326-9749. Give us a call. Let us know how you're doing and what you're thinking on this big issue of possible war between the United States and Iran. Also, news actually today on Iran, Iranian officials, actually the head Supreme Justice of the country, the head judge of the country, basically, has said that Iran will be seeking to prosecute Donald Trump on charges of war crimes for his assassination of General Soleimani, and going to the ICC for that, the International Criminal Court that is responsible for carrying out that kind of prosecution against criminals like Donald Trump for war crimes. So they're going to go to the ICC demanding the prosecution of the war criminal Donald Trump for this targeted assassination of General Soleimani. So that's really good news, actually, I think. I think that's what, people around the world should resort more to the courts and less to the violence of war. I think Iran is doing the right thing there. In demanding that the war criminal Donald Trump be prosecuted for his war crimes. Specifically, they're looking for prosecution of the war crime of the targeted assassination of General Soleimani. However, I have a feeling that were the ICC ever to do what it should be doing, do its job, and carry out a prosecution against Donald Trump, that they are going to find that his war crimes go much deeper than just the assassination of Soleimani. And, of course, you know, there should be others up there on the docket with Trump, sharing the docket with Trump, including Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, his wife, who was Hillary Clinton, who was Secretary of State under Barack Obama, who's also guilty of war crimes. And, of course, those that I just mentioned to you are all of the living former presidents of the United States, along with the current president of the United States. So all of them should be prosecuted. In a fair, just world, they would be. Anyway, next on the list here is censorship by social media platforms. There have been a couple of great articles come out. One of them on the Gray Zone. Of course, the Gray Zone is a fabulous publication that focuses on news of Latin America and the great revolutions in Latin America, but also has stories on about other parts of the world as well. And this article is basically about the Trump regime ramping up its information war against countries like Venezuela, Iran, Syria, China, and Russia. The list goes on, but basically against all the countries in the world that refuse to kowtow to the American empire. And these attacks using social media platforms such as Twitter and Facebook, can't be others I can't remember at the moment, but there are other others. What's the other one? Instagram or something like that. There are others there, and they're all being enlisted in attacks on these countries, on the citizens of these countries. Just in the month of January, we've seen, for instance, activists, political activists who were in the ruling political parties in Venezuela and in Syria have had their accounts frozen and had their posts removed. People have been all over the world have been warned when they retweet or repost postings from people in these countries. We've seen people in China and Russia, the same thing, in Iran as well. We've seen, for instance, in Iran, essentially every government official that has Facebook accounts or Twitter accounts has had their their accounts frozen. So we've seen a big increase in that, and of course, This isn't just a move against people in foreign countries. This is a move against Americans as well. It's a move against Americans' right to read what we want to read, what we feel is necessary to read to get both sides of the story. It's really a frightening kind of Orwellian kind of thing. I'm not too sure why they even call that Orwellian. Orwell is the pen name of the guy who wrote 1984, the novel 1984, which was about Big Brother watching you, essentially, if you remember, if you've ever seen the movies made about it or read the book. But they call it Orwellian when someone is doing this kind of a fascistic trampling of people's basic human rights to hear what we feel is necessary to hear and get the information we need to act as citizens, to act as truly informed citizens in a democracy. Of course, we are not citizens in a democracy. We're citizens in a country that's quickly watching more and more fascism rise up against us. That's always been our, at least for the American people, it's always been our aspiration to be living in a true democracy. And this further tramples, puts the kibosh on that dream of the American people, the dream to live in democracy, to have our basic human rights and political rights respected. So this is pretty serious stuff there. Anyway, still looking like neither Bob nor Rainer are showing up. The last two topics that we had to discuss tonight, the Yellow Vests and the general strike in France and socialism versus barbarism, I think I might just hold that off on that until next week. Because, frankly, my voice is giving out, and not too sure that I could continue to go on without my cohorts, Bob and Rainer. I hope that Bob and Rainer are all right. I hope that nothing bad has happened to them, and really hear anything from them indicating that they wouldn't be here tonight. So I have no understanding why, but in the meantime, let me leave you with the thought that you can get more information about us here at Carson's Corner, here at the Election Boycott Advocates. For one thing, look for us on Facebook. You can put this into the Facebook search engine. Put Election Boycott Advocates into the search engine, and we'll come popping up there, our page, and you can go check out our page and see what we're all about. Let's see, Rainer also has a great website that you can take a look at all of his writing. You go to Rainer Shea, that's Rain like R-A-I-N, Rain, RAINERSHEA.com, and look at his blogs, for example. You see all of his great writings, including the one we were supposed to talk about tonight, As Capitalism Collapses into Fascism, Socialist Revolution Looms. So you can take a look at that and Rainer's other writings at RainerShea.com. So, meantime, want to thank everybody for tuning in to this truncated version of the show. And we'll be back next week, same time, on Blog Talk Radio. And until then, everyone, have a great night. Thanks so much. Bye-bye, everyone.